Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change. So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the honour and pleasure of being joined by Roel Palthus, who is Senior Vice President and Managing Director of Merck Ventures. And we're here today at the GCV event. So Roel, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
So could you give us a brief introduction to yourself on that first, please?
Sure, yeah. So I've been the managing director of Merck Ventures since its inception, originally as MS Ventures, 7 years ago in 2009. My background is initially as a very unsuccessful scientist who went into business, became an investment banker, and then joined Serono just before Merck acquired Serono. At Serono, I was initially responsible for running structured deals as part of business development, and then established the Merck Serono Venture Fund in 2009 to invest in strategic innovation, strategic to the Merck healthcare business at that point in time.
Good. And could you give us a brief introduction to your fund and the relationship with your parent organization?
Yeah. So as I said, we started the fund. We established the fund as part of our pharma business. Merck, and this is Merck KGaA, based in Darmstadt, Germany, is a company with three businesses. So we have a pharma business, the Merck and previously Merck Serono business, which is currently called Merck Biopharma. Merck Biopharma has a portfolio that is focused on the fields of oncology, immuno-oncology, inflammation. We have a fertility business and a broader mature business in the endocrinology and metabolic diseases space. Besides that pharma business, we have a large, what we call our life sciences business, that is really focused on materials and reagents that are applied in the lab industry. A big part of that business comes from our acquisitions of Millipore about 5 years ago, and then more recently Sigma Aldrich, which we added to the family in 2015. The last part of the business is a performance materials business. We have a large business in the LCD field, in the display materials field, and other high-end materials that go into microelectronics. We have a pigments business in that part of our business. So very broad conglomerate, if you will, of science and technology businesses. So our relationship to the business is that I report to Stefan Oschmann, Merck's CEO, with a mandate to invest in each of these three businesses. So we have $150 million dedicated fund for our healthcare businesses, is evergreen commitment. We have $100 million fund dedicated to our life sciences business, also $100 million fund dedicated to our materials business. And then we have an additional commitment of $75 million that allows us to invest blue sky in areas where, based on the science and technology base of Merck today, we try to anticipate what new businesses our corporate parent organization would engage in over time.
Could you describe how that sort of venturing and fund approach has changed in that over the years, as we know you've got your evergreen fund there?
Yeah, so when we started the venture fund, this was at a time when, I guess, our discussions with the board in end of 2008 were at a time where we were in the middle of the financial crisis and still in the middle of a transition of our parents' organization's business. So the initial commitment was $40 million, one-time commitment, with very limited expectations from our parent organization. We've evolved that over time. We've added a seed fund in Israel, a $10 million fund, and we have our own incubator facility there. Started that in 2011. We have set up a spin-off fund for Merck of €30 million in 2012, at the time primarily driven by the closure of our R&D facility in Geneva.
Right.
And with that, we've helped build, in the meantime, six companies on the basis of assets that were deprioritized at Merck, but that are now the basis for some very successful biotech companies. And since 2013, we've upped the overall commitment to $150 million for healthcare. Since last year, that's an evergreen commitment. And so what's really changed in the perception of Merck over time is that we have now been able to show that from a strategic perspective, which is our primary mandate,
yeah,
we've been able to start companies, seed companies that have developed assets that have turned out to be very relevant for the Merck business. Merck is commercializing one of the assets that we seeded. Merck is in clinical development with molecules that come from companies that we have invested in. And at the same time, we've generated good, I would say, significant financial returns that have given a lot of confidence to the Merck organization that we can do this in a self-sustainable way. And that's where we had the agreement also with the board on an evergreen commitment, where we've shown that we can support our own ability to continue to do deals at the level that we're doing that today.
Good. Okay, so you've given us a perspective on sort of the size and the plan for sort of the investment. What are the key technologies and the new business models that you're seeing as opportunities or threats and that now for you, for the business that you're looking at?
Yeah, I guess to start with, I guess we would we invest in opportunities. We don't see the venture fund as a structure to, I guess, prevent our businesses from threats in the business. The opportunity for us here is to access innovation across our businesses and help shape that innovation into products that would be relevant for our business.
Right. Yeah. In
our healthcare portfolio, we've been doing quite a bit of company creation in the field of oncology and new biology in and new target biology in the oncology field. We're investing in new therapeutic modalities. With the increased understanding that we have of the biology of cancer and of inflammation, there is a need to invest in new therapeutic strategies to address that biology, to capture that biology.
Right.
In the new funds, the strategy is emerging. This is something that we're aligning with the business as we speak, but you could imagine that with the portfolio that we have on the life sciences side, we will be looking to expand that into high growth areas. We have a significant market position in, I guess, disposable reagents that are used in the diagnostics, companion diagnostics field.
Uh-huh.
We have a large capacity in the manufacturing of proteins and very complex therapeutic modalities in that life sciences space. With the emergence on the healthcare side of a lot of, for instance, cell therapy and gene therapy products, you could see that we would also cross over there to see if we can find new technologies. The advanced materials space, just the display technology field alone and the developments that we see there provides a significant amount of opportunities, but also the use of some of the specialized materials that we have in displays or in our pigments business for new type of businesses creates a lot of near-term opportunities for
right.
us.
Okay.
So there's a
plenty
fairly
of opportunities
broad
there, yeah.
of opportunities there.
So people are so central to corporate venturing. Can you introduce us to some of the team members and how they try to engage in that with the core business and the people you get involved from the core business in your corporate venturing?
Sure. I mean, for now, that will be primarily focused on our healthcare team because the other teams were in the process of establishing.
Mm-hmm.
Besides myself, I guess in terms of senior leadership, Jasper Bos is heading our healthcare fund. He's been around. I hired him when we started the first fund. He's been instrumental in building the healthcare organization together with me. And the other senior investment managers in life sciences are Hakan Göker, who came from Atlas Ventures, and then Acecap Ventures joined us after that. And Bram van Parijs, who is a former investment manager at PMV, a Belgian venture fund in the life sciences space. Beyond that, we have a very strong group and a very smart group of younger people who have joined us over time. We run an internship program, very focused on talent management through that, getting smart PhDs on board and bringing them into the venture environment, growing those people into associate and then principal roles that
right.
support our investment
good,
activities.
Good development, yeah. Good. And how do you work with people within your organization with regard to governance and validating the investments you're doing and then connecting your investment portfolio to your business units?
Mm-hmm. So let's take the governance part and then the sort of how do we connect our portfolio companies to our business. I would take those separate.
Yep.
On the governance side, we have a one-step process for investment decisions. We do want to have corporate sponsorship, and that means that we have senior leaders from the organization endorsing our investment proposals. That's not on the basis of a That's on the basis of a verbal commitment, not a budget or a financial commitment from their side.
Okay.
So we, for us, it's very important that the risk when you invest in innovation, that resource allocation is always going to be impacted by more mature products. That's something that we want to prevent. So very important that the money that goes into venture investments comes from a dedicated pool of money. We do want to have
good
a senior
point, yeah.
leader to stand up and if we want to in front of an investment committee and tell them that this, if this product is successful in 5 to 7 years from now, then this is something that I would consider adding to my business where
good.
I get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Beyond that, as I said, it's a one-step process. We have an investment committee with members of the Merck executive and board and divisional leadership. We can call them together on an ad hoc basis. It takes us a couple of days to prepare them, but we can act as fast, at least as fast as any of our co-investors in the CVC and the VC space. The other question is very important to us. So our relationship with our portfolio companies is driven by our board seats. We take board seats in all of our companies. We try to be active investors, really support our companies with, beyond the capital that we provide,
uh-huh.
insights into strategy, business development, technology, science. We have the ability to reach back into the Merck organization if that is of interest to our portfolio companies, if there are specific resources or capabilities that we find in the Merck organization that could be relevant for them. We
yep.
can bring that in upon request. We try to facilitate a regular update with key decision makers in our parent organization. But that, for me, is, and this is very important, that's a relationship that needs to be built between our management teams and our parent organization directly. I can facilitate that. I'm not going to be part of those discussions.
Right.
It's very important that we facilitate those interactions, but we want to see those at arm's length so that we don't create conflicts between our investment side and our operational side. So we do a very active job at that. We set up regular meetings. We organize an event every year where we bring our portfolio companies and some of our co-investors together with key decision makers in the Merck organization to keep that network up and running.
Yeah.
It's a very important part of our
yeah.
business.
Yeah, but that differentiation I think is very important to re-emphasize that between the role as an investor and the role of the relationship, be it on R&D or commercial sort of terms, I think is a good point you're emphasizing there. So building a new technology, new business models, and creating what I describe as innovative new value chains is really a challenge, and that's at the core business. Can you give us some insights in some of these challenges that you're seeing with the business model or the process that is changing back into your core business?
Yeah. I think I would take two examples or two levels there.
Yeah.
So one of them is when we think about developing new technologies or businesses that are within our current divisions.
Right.
The challenge you find there often is that when you really want to do strategic innovation, really look at new products, new product categories, new technologies, you can make the decision to invest in something new and see it through for the first year. But then you get to a point where you have to rediscuss your budget, you have to redo your resource allocation, and whether that's capabilities, budget, or whatever, quite often that new technology will lose from some of the more mature products that are in that portfolio
right.
or
yeah.
pipeline. So it's challenging in itself to start new projects, even with all the work that we do, that our parent organization does in R&D. Our pharma business has an annual R&D budget right now of more than 1.4 billion euros.
Right.
So there's significant investments in it. But when we really want to create something new, we don't always have the right environment to do that. With the structure of our company and the three different businesses, there's an added challenge for us, or maybe an opportunity. There's a lot of overlap between our life sciences and our healthcare business, for instance, but also between our materials and our healthcare business when it comes to new opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
We have, with our display materials and LCD and OLED technologies, you could see applications there on the healthcare side with our assay development and with our reagents and with our diagnostic tools that we have in our life sciences business. Again, there's overlap. Manufacturing of proteins, manufacturing of cell therapies. Because of the way that we have structured our business, it's not obvious how you would invest in a new technology that goes across those businesses as
right.
divisional leadership. the venture funds provide us to allow us to cross over between businesses, create assets that are relevant for both businesses without directly hurting or touching the divisional budget. So the challenges there lead to the opportunity and are, to some extent, the fundamental basis for us to have a venture fund. We want to make sure that we're not restricted by those internal challenges when we access and develop innovative new products.
Yeah. So, yeah, I certainly see it as this connecting the external and connecting the sure. internal sort of areas as well. And how do you measure your financial or sort of strategic performance?
So, I guess financial performance is the easy one, right?
Yeah.
So we do that in the same way as any venture fund would do that. We assume or have the ambition to generate a market return, even if we start with, a strategic trigger to make our investment. We will only do that when we see that we have companies that are investable and where we can create strong syndicates. So we really believe that we should have the same drivers there as the broader venture community.
Yes. Yeah.
On the strategic side, there's a set of KPIs that we have in place. Obviously, I guess the very straightforward part of that is, do we see all the relevant deal flow for us? Do we have access to all relevant deals? Do we make investments that turn out to be relevant for our organization initially and over time? As I said, we've been able to deliver on that mandate for several of our portfolio companies, and we also accept that given that we make early stage investments, that the likelihood, the probability of an initial investment turning into a strategic relationship is not very high, as you can see that across the industry.
Yes. Yeah.
Beyond the obvious, we also try to measure the spin-off of having a venture fund in terms of deal flow generation for our business development and M&A organization.
Yeah.
The relationships that we create with the venture community, with our syndication partners in the broader VC community, when it comes to sharing deal flow and ideas with Merck as an organization. What's really hard to measure is that we believe that our venture fund, in terms of Merck's reputation as a company that invests in innovation, is important for us overall as an organization. That's hard to measure how you get that out.
Yeah.
If we can find a good KPI for that, we'll do it. But that's...
But your board or your business unit heads, do they sort of each year have to sort of report and sort of say, yes, you and your team have done a good job, giving you good insights, giving you good deals?
We get that at the level of our investment committee and the Merck board. I think that I'm not sure if I would include that in our sort of performance measurement. It's really, if we don't get the right feedback from our board and from our divisions, we're not doing our job well.
Yeah.
And that means that we need to do better at that.
Yeah.
But that's a very soft measure for me.
Yes. Yeah.
It's an important one.
Yeah. Yeah. So could you illustrate what you've described with a couple of examples of recent investments or partnerships and that you've done?
Yeah, sure. So I guess the one example that I often use to describe why we do venture and how we do venture is one of our earliest investments from the healthcare fund. Company is currently called Progyny. When we invested, it was called Oxygen. It's a San Francisco-based company, spin-off from Stanford University from the fertility clinic there. We started that company in 2010 together with Kleiner Perkins and TPG to develop a device that can help embryologists in an IVF clinic with the selection of the most viable embryos in an IVF procedure.
Right.
There's our parent organization has had a pharma business and a very strong market position in the field of IVF for a long period of time. We wanted to see if we could take those developments beyond drugs and if we could see if we could use technology to improve IVF treatments. The EVA system, the technology that came out of that development, has turned out to be a very effective tool to standardize the evaluation of embryos in an IVF setting. It has improved. It has significantly improved the effect, the take-home baby rate, as they say in the
right.
field,
yeah.
Of IVF treatments. And since 2013, Merck has a commercial partnership with Progyny and commercializes the EVA system outside of the U.S. At the same time, it's been an important investment for us to show that we back technologies, we work with great investors, and we also still have a company there that has a very valuable business in the field of fertility healthcare benefits. Obviously, they have evolved over time as well. This is strategic return. If you want to have a recent example of financial return, we started a company about 16 months ago together with Atlas Ventures, JJDC, and what is now Medici Ventures, so the former Index Ventures, in the inflammation space in the field of PAD biology. Boston-based company called Padlock Therapeutics raised a $20 million Series A financing. And for us, again, the trigger to invest there was strategic. This is new biology, completely new take on the treatment of autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. But already at a very early stage, there was a lot of interest from pharma and large biotech companies in acquiring the company. So ended up in a sale to BMS that was announced in April of this year. So in that case, I guess unfortunately we weren't able to keep that company in the portfolio for a longer period of time. It hasn't resulted in a strategic return to Merck, but we've obviously generated quite a significant financial return on that, which will allow us to make new investments. So we try to keep a balance there. Yeah. So we will see that some of our companies go that direction. Hopefully some of our companies will go into the also strategic direction. Yeah. In that case, we can manage the portfolio well.
But so you're benefiting from insights, you're benefiting from the relationship you're building up with your co-investors and sort of stuff like that on the journey. Great. So thanks for those insights and overview of the venturing. And what do you manage to do to relax when you're not flying around to the UK and working on your various ventures, Rob?
I relax a lot, and I have a lot of ways to do it. I find it very easy to switch off from work. Although I work quite a lot, but if I give you one example, I love long distance swimming. That's my way to meditate, to swim 5, 6, 7 kilometers in a large lake. That for me, that's the perfect way to relax, to see the nature, to be on my own, and just be in the rhythm of swimming. That's the best way to relax for me.
Fantastic! Thanks so much for your insights. Appreciate it.
Happy to. Yeah.